You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Brocast. I'm David Woods. He's Tracy Pearson. And joined today by UCLA men's basketball coach Mick Cronin. It's calling you Michael Cronin on here, but we know. We know the truth.
Very formal.
That is the truth.
Yeah.
You can't handle the truth.
We can't. It's throwing me, I got to tell you.
Did you ever think about going by Walt? No Walter in there?
Yeah, that was never really in the equation. I wouldn't care. You know, just don't call me when it's time to pay your bills and I'm okay. You call me you want. Just don't call me for money.
So we can call you Walt? That would be okay?
It's fine with me. That would be a first. I've been called worse. All you got to do is go play at Arizona.
We probably won't touch that. We should move on.
It's okay.
Fun. So we've got a lot to talk about. Haven't spoken to you in a while. So many things have happened. That little jaunt across the big old pond, for one thing. And then probably what we first want to talk about, because it's so exciting for all the fans, is the arrival of two international signees, Adai Mara and Birke Bayokunsil. Pretty good, right?
Pretty good. No? Pretty good.
Okay, let's all try it. Birke Bayokunsil.
No. Bayokunsil.
Okay. Okay. There you go. There you go, Dave.
Okay. Yeah, no, I talked to him. I know.
Dave's got the beard, so he can do that better.
He does have a little bit of a Turkish beard going on.
He does. So, how has that been with them arriving on campus? How, tell us a little bit about that experience. Had you ever seen them, been with them in person before?
Adai, yes. Adai more than once. You know, I'd been to Spain and then he was with us, came to visit us, you know, when we were in Madrid. Birke, a lot of FaceTime. So much FaceTime that, between Evo, Nate, and I, you know, I think I'd FaceTime him more than anybody in the history of our lives. So, but it was good to see him. I mean, they've only been here a few days. So all I can give you really is the highlight of walking with them past Acosta during lunchtime, where all the Olympic sports, soccer and volleyball, everybody seemed to be in there eating lunch, and I noticed all of a sudden a bunch of student athletes jump and run up to the window, like they couldn't, because they were all looking at Adai. Obviously, you know, it's not every day a guy 7'3" walks down, you know, walks right by the window, and it was funny to just look up at some of the student athletes and drop their lunch. And the way they were looking at him, it was pretty comical.
He's a legit 7'3", right?
Yeah.
Legit.
Yeah. We were at dinner and Kenneth Nuba, when we got up, before we sat down, and then when we got up to leave, Kenny kept walking away. And I knew, I said, Kenny, where are you going? And he's smiling. He goes, I feel too small standing next to him. I feel too.
Wow.
I've never felt so small. I said, welcome to my world, man. And we were laughing.
With a guy that big, like, where do you, I mean, where's he gonna sleep? Like, what kind of mattress situation do they have in the dorms for him?
Well, he's not new to this, so you know he and his family, you know, they're here getting him all moved in. That's the, you know, Doug Erickson's all things domestic, so bed extensions, double beds. I mean, he obviously he's been 7'3" for a few years now, so you know, it's a part of a guy's normal, you know, this stuff that he deals with. So that is of the 8 million things that I have to do since they invented NIL, bed extensions do not fall under my personal category. That's a Doug Erickson special.
That's pretty amazing because I know you get into details about a lot of things, so that's a little surprising. You're not doing the beds too,
Yeah, I know.
Mick.
You got to let some things go, Trace. You have to let some things go.
With those two finally arriving on campus, you now have the roster for this year is now, fully at UCLA. It's been a long process putting this together. We all know, but what's the feeling right now, just knowing that they're all here and they'll all be available to start practice later this month?
Well, it's exciting, you know. Getting used to the quarter system is something still interesting because I went to school as a student on quarters at Cincinnati. I coached at Cincinnati on quarters, and then we transitioned. So I'm not a fan of the quarter system. So for many reasons. So we cannot start fall workouts, quarter schools, per NCAA rule, till September 15th. So, but we needed, the other guys all needed a break. You know, summer is pretty intense when you have all the extra practices. Spain was fun, but the practices I used as like a spring football training camp, so to speak, to get some concepts in and to try to build some team unity, and really to figure out what I kind of already knew, that we got a lot of work to do because young players don't know how to play defense. And they struggle to defend for more than 7 or 8 seconds in a possession. And that tends to get exploited in college basketball, as well as FIBA basketball, as you saw this morning, as we gave up 113 to Germany. In a 40-minute game. So you know, in you have to be able to defend. So I learned that we got a lot of work to do in that area. But I kind of knew that young teams, you have to, that'll be our biggest challenge. I know everybody else probably, well, who's going to score? We got talent. We'll be able to figure that out, who we're going to play through the most. I think Adem's going to be All-American. But being able to defend at a championship level, you know, is what you have to do to win championships. So that I learned in our time. But we did definitely need a break right now. Some of the guys on that taking advantage of that. I think Lazarus sent a picture from he's jumping in the ocean in Greece somewhere. You know, Adem visited his mother. So it's good to freshen. You got to freshen these guys up because it's a long season once we start full speed.
Talk a little bit about Lazar Stevanovic. Came in as the transfer from Utah. From what we could see, we didn't get to watch those games in Spain, but it looked like he was doing everything for you, including like sweeping the floors from what I heard during timeouts. Talk a little bit about his game, whether he surprised you a little, he's everything you thought he would be, combination of his skills and his athleticism. What was your takeaway with him from Spain?
He hasn't surprised me with his ability because, you know, in scouting him, he had a great game against us his freshman year. And you know, watching the Pac-12 nonstop through scouting and playing against him, you know, I knew he had offensive ability, and he was way more than a shooter. He's a guy that's really probably better off the dribble, and he's a sneaky athlete, and he's got great size. What you don't know, though, Tracy, until you get a guy is, and this is the crapshoot with recruiting, is Does he have winning DNA? And does he do winning things? And these are all things you hear coaches talk about. And these are the most important things. You know, who talks on defense? Not only can he defend his position and get in the right spot, he can make other guys' life easier by helping them be in the right spot. The value on that in the world of coaching is priceless. And it doesn't show up in stat sheets. And that's why, like, people say, well, why does he, you know, whatever. It could be me. It could be, you know, Chip Kelly. You just don't know. But they say, well, why does this coach play player X? Why does he keep playing him? He's not – his stats aren't great. He's not the best shooter. Well, you can't win without him because your defense will fall apart if he's not on the floor. And the other guys need what he brings to the table. So he elevates your team. And that has been the part of, that Lazarus brought to the table that we did not know, because you don't know that unless you're in practice with him, unless you're the one until you coach a guy, you don't know about his so-called intangibles. I call them the winning habits, you know, and so I say to you guys, there's two types of players, guys that help you win and guys that don't. And Bob Huggins taught me that a long time ago. And there's plenty of guys that can't help you win. They can score a lot though, but they give up more and they break your team down and they don't build your team up. So he's been a godsend for us. He's going to be a godsend for us. He'll score at times because he can. I think our style of play, playing a little bit faster than he maybe did at Utah, is going to help him because he's not a spot-to-spot player. He's a great slasher and a really good athlete.
You mentioned earlier Adem and, you know, potentially being an All-American type player, and we all know about Adem's defensive contributions. But he was telling me that he's been working on his face-up jumper a little bit.
Yes.
How much of a role do you see that playing this year, especially with potentially him playing alongside a die at times?
Well, just anytime you're going to have a big guy that if he can only score on in the post, he's going to be limited because you can always double team him if he's your best player. The other team can always double team that guy. Then you can always foul that guy. The expansion of becoming a serious offensive threat is he's got to be able to make the foul line jump shot at a consistent clip. No, he's going to make every one, but being able to knock down that 15 footer for him because he's so quick and being able to drive to the basket that if you have to guard him at 15 feet, he's a problem. He becomes a real problem. And then, yeah, he becomes a 70% free throw shooter. So we've spent months with him because he's been healthy enough to do skill work, just not to bang. You know, he hasn't been cleared for banging body-to-body contact where his arm could maybe get compromised in an unusual position. But he's been full go with that for months. So and as we all know, Adem's, and you can just look at him and talk to him, you know, he's an unbelievably hard worker. So he has spent countless hours in the gym and he's just, it's a matter of him getting comfortable with that 15 foot shot, getting comfortable with the free throw line and you gain that confidence through repetition. You got to see the ball go in. It's hard to be confident if it never goes in. So, you know, mechanics that obviously a part of it. And then repetition, you know, you got to make thousands of them. You got to take 10,000 of them to get comfortable. So I think that's an evolution for him. I went through it with Kenyon Martin long, long time ago. I had a lot of hair back then. When he became a guy that could make that 12 to 15 footer with his quickness, he was National Player of the Year at Cincinnati once that happened for him. Also, he was a guy who was trying to get fouled because he became a 65 to 70% free throw shooter. So now you're using your explosiveness and quickness to draw the foul, not to avoid the foul, because you're confident at the foul line, which Adem was getting. He was improving vastly towards the end of the year at Before the broken nose, the mask didn't help, and then obviously the blown shoulder didn't help.
You were talking a little bit, or you talked about how Stefanovic brought all those intangibles. From what we've heard reports, Sebastian Mack is kind of, well, you tell us, is he that kind of player too? Have you been impressed with the intangibles he brings also?
I'm impressed with his quickness, his explosiveness. Other than that, he's a freshman. Freshmen tend to do things like try to, if you miss a shot, try to steal the outlet pass instead of get back on defense. And they've never been taken out of games for doing things like that because you're 10 times the best player on your team. So that's all normal stuff that you have to build into. There's things we have a list of things that we talk to our team about, things that teams that win conference titles do, and things that teams do that finish at the bottom four and underachieve do. Trying to steal outlet passes would be one of them, by the way, Trace. Foul night, turn the ball over 90 feet from the basket and reach in and foul. These are all freshman habits. I call them, I mean, it's just common. And it's been pretty consistent in my career that they've all been able to do things and get away with things at the high school level that you can't do at our level. So, but Sebastian's got tremendous quickness and toughness going to the basket. He can create offense. He needs us to help polish him up. Just got to polish his game up and be able to defend for more than 8 seconds of a shot clock. He's not used to getting screened twice in a possession, by somebody 6'10", which is going to happen when you play teams like Marquette and whoever you're going to play in Maui, things of that. It's even going to happen when you play Lafayette early. You got 22-year-old guys are going to put they're going to lay the wood to you, and he hasn't fought through screens yet. So none of that's his fault. It's just that's the life of coaching freshmen. Amari grew through that last year, and by the end of the year, you guys saw how good he was.
You've got seven of those guys this year,
Yeah.
freshmen. So two questions. One, how are you preparing to manage that stress? And you already mentioned your hair. Where do you pull it out of now? Do you pull it out of the
No,
eyebrows when it sticks out?
it just doesn't grow anymore. You just decide if you're going to smoke a Monte Cristo or a Bolivar. That's that's your decision on stress relief. But that's why I have my puppy. So, he's my stress relief. So, I would tell you, what something that I think is going to have to be a factor for us is depth, because we're going to play some freshmen, some real minutes. And what I've learned is they can only handle so much. And what I mean by that is freshmen tend to get fatigued quicker. It takes a guy a while to be able to play a whole game like Jaime Jaquez, and maintain your ability to not get not get beat on defense. So what happens with young guys, as soon as they get tired, they get beat defensively, they forget where to go, and they're soft with the ball. So the answer is we just can't play them when they're fatigued. So we're going to have to rotate those guys and keep them fresh. Obviously, your goal is to build up their toughness level. Like I alluded to, Amari did a great job of that. Adem was an anomaly. He fouled was his issue early. Amari having to defend at the college level, it took him time. And that's why we were so much of a better team late in the year, was how he grew defensively. So the answer, though, for us early is going to be to probably keep them guys fresh and not have to play somebody out there that's you play a young guy that's tired, you got problems.
So for what, first time in 5 years, you'll be breaking in a new point guard. You had Tiger Campbell, who
Yeah,
had,
he's in
I mean,
France.
yeah, he's
As
in
much as we
France.
all want him back, he's about 40 miles north of Paris.
So I know we know you. The point guard is kind of an extension of you on the court. How is that going in developing an extension of you on the court with Dylan Andrews and possibly Jan Vide, maybe Sebastian Mack?
Yeah.
How did that come along in Spain?
Well, it was good. You know, things you learn as a coach, you can't just, to me, I mean, you can be just in my way or the highway, meaning I'm going to be the same way. I can't coach Dylan Andrews 100% the same way I coach Tiger Campbell. You have to, Dylan Andrews is a much more conscientious person, and my ire could rattle him, so I have to handle him a little bit differently. Where Tiger was very mature, and you could deal with Tiger like you were coaching a pro. Where Dylan, I have to be careful because if I get on him too hard, he takes it a little. He cares so much. He wants to please me so much. Where Tiger wasn't afraid to, every time I got upset, it didn't bother him. He just knew that was me being me. So Dylan's not there yet with that. So I got to adjust. I know the things that Dylan's going to do that are going to bring us success. And I got to give him more confidence and belief. Same with, and then, with the other guys, Jan, I know Dylan. So with Jan Vide, and he will probably play more points. Sebastian Mack at this point in his career doesn't have the mentality of a point guard. He's got the scoring mentality. Jan Vide can get where he wants with the ball. He's played point his whole life. So I only had him a couple of weeks, and then he got hurt in the middle of our second game in Spain. So still got a lot to learn about how I need to coach him, how I can help him become a better player. And that's going to be the theme, Tracy, with our team this year, really. Sure, we have a, our standard is our standard as far as play as a team, be physical, compete, play to win. But from a strategic standpoint and handling these guys day to day, you got to be prepared to learn as you go as their coaching staff, and adjust accordingly.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Talking with Burke last week, something really struck me, which is that he said he first started hearing about UCLA in 2016, watching the NBA Finals and Kevin Love playing for the Cavaliers, I think, at the time. And he then went back and researched everything he could find about Kevin Love because he was so impressed with his outlet passing. Does he strike you as kind of a student of the game type, Burke, and just kind of your interactions with him so far?
Yeah, here would be the difference. Burke of the guys, you know, that so yeah, so for our fans, so Alain Fablu and Jan Vide played at academies, which is rare. There's only a few. So Jan was at Real Madrid's academy. Alain Fablu was at INSEP, which is a government-run academy. So they're basically the very few school-affiliated programs, even though they're owned professionally. So they played predominantly with their age group. Adai has had to play against older guys, which limited his playing time, playing for Zaragoza in the ACB League, which is just a cut under the NBA. Berke, playing it with Tofus, his last 2 years playing on their pro team and playing minutes, being a significant contributor. The reason he's probably ahead of these guys with the things you talk about, what his knowledge of the game, physicality. If you watched him play at all in the 19 and unders this summer, he looked advanced versus the Team USA players. Just his knowledge of how to move without the ball, his physicality was right there with the USA guys. So that's a byproduct, one of his talent. But two, to get minutes at the level of basketball that he had to play at, you have to be physical and you have to know what you're doing. And the game is just at a much higher level cerebrally and physically. At that pro level that Burke was playing at, more so than the other guys.
Coach, looking at potential lineups and rotations,
You're in charge of that. You're in charge.
Yeah, okay. I know. That's why I'm telling you right now. That's what I've been thinking about. You could have 7-3 Adai Mara, 6-10 Adem Bonus, 6-8, 6-9 Burke. 6-6, 6-7 Stefanovic, and then maybe 6-5 Jan Vide all on the court at the same time. That's a very large lineup out there. It gives you an option to go very, very big.
Yes. So to your point, and did you guys, okay, you froze up on me for a second there. Your point, the bookster's trying to make his appearance here.
We got to see him.
The screen. Well, he wants me to throw his ball. So now he took off running because he knows I'm going to throw it. so, yeah, potentially, you know, you could play some very big lineups. I'm a believer that zone, to play an effective zone, you have to have size. To me, you know, having my experience in the Big East, one thing I learned, Coach Boeheim's great teams, his goal was to be bigger than you at all five positions. And that that length is the key to zone. So that's a possibility. I go into this without any preconceived notions, other than I think Adem's going to be an All-American. So I know Lazar's a veteran player. And we're probably going to have to rotate and keep young guys fresh because my experience tells me that as soon as they get tired, disaster will happen. And they get tired faster than the older guys. So keeping Adem out of foul trouble is going to be important. But as far as strategy and lineups, everything's on the table. Because as I said in my 4 years ago when I was fortunate enough for Dan Guerrero to give me the call to come to UCLA, I spell fun W-I-N. And there's different types of coaches that, we're going to play a certain way no matter what. To me, I want to win no matter what. So if we have to make adjustments offensively, defensively, here you go, buddy. whatever we have to do. So if we have to play zone, if we have to play big, if we have to press, I do think we can press with this team because I'm a big believer in it's hard to press with guys if it's not in their DNA. If they don't want to pick up full court, it's really hard to make guys pick up full court. And it has to be easy for them, like running, that has to be easy for them. Speed and quickness has to be easy for them. It hasn't really been that way for us since I've been here. I think Dylan, Alon, Lazar, Sebastian, Jan, those guys in particular, Will McClendon, like those guys, we don't have any conscientious objectors that would rather just drop back and play half court defense. We've had some of those. We faked pressing at times. You know, Amari made our press better last year because it was his DNA to get up after you. So with him and Jalen Clark, you know, it was hard for Tiger because he had to take two steps to year one. For most other Division I guys, he needed two to equal their one. So he could get tired. But I think pressing is on the table for sure. Got a score to press, though. But everything is really, Trace, you know, lineup-wise, I know everybody wants to, you know, hear, but I really have no idea other than I know a Dembona. You know, other than that, we'll see. I like Dylan Andrews' chances of playing a lot. But like I said, I think we're going to be a deeper team. And, you know, we haven't talked about Devin Williams, Kenny, Brandon Williams, you know, those guys all, I think the Spain was best for those guys because they got a lot of practice, a lot of attention from the coaching staff, and had to play, not just in the games, but they had to get a lot of the minutes in practice, without Burke, without Adai, with Adem, obviously not being able to play in the contact. So, we're going to be a work in progress for sure. And, you know, we got our work cut out for us.
Let me ask one quick question. Just when you were talking about flexibility, adaptability, I'd like you to maybe address that element in recruiting. You made obviously a clear decision to go international, a year and a half ago. Talk about what went into that decision. What were some of the factors that made you decide to do that? At that time?
Yeah. Well, I had been exploring that at Cincinnati. My old assistant, Coach Davis, and I, we tried to get I can't say his name right, but Karnowski, big 7-foot guy that went to play to Gonzaga. We came in second for him. We came in second to Gonzaga for Kevin Pangos. And what I learned in trying to dabble in it, because Cincinnati's not an easy place to recruit to. So I was trying to figure out, you know, where could we get players? Because we're, you know, you're surrounded there. They're in the Big 12 now, but there you were surrounded by a lot of the power leagues, and then you were in the American. So, it was born years ago, and when we got the job, you know, Coach Savino and I, we knew we were going to bring on Rod Palmer, a longtime relationship, and we looked at our roster, and we knew that we had multiple returning players that were going to be with us for 2 to 3 years. And I'm a recruiter by nature. That's how I advanced in our business. So I thought we'd be able to get the recruiting done and focus on adding a great coach, which was Michael Lewis, which, you know, was out West Coast, out of his recruiting element. But I figured that he would have a chance with his, you know, being all-time assist leader at Indiana, getting a job. And then we could win big, that he, in 2 to 3 years, I thought he would definitely get a job. And then we would have to be in a reload and then have to really look at hiring somebody from a recruiting standpoint. So that was my chance. So, you know, when Michael got the Ball State job, Darren, you know, I talked to Darren and Rod. I said, we're going to find whoever the best guy we can find is, because what I had learned in the past in trying to recruit Europe is you have to have a commitment level to it and somebody that's totally dedicated to it on your staff, that every day they're talking to me and making sure that every day I'm talking to a couple of people in Europe if we're going to recruit Europe. It's what they do, but they all, you know, it's no different than, you know, the guys I'm talking to, the coaches in Southern California on a weekly basis, whether it's AAU or high school. So it has to become part of your normal routine. And it worked out that way. You know, the plan came together. We went to the Final Four with Michael Lewis and had a great run. And then we were able to bring Evo in. Now Yogi's in with us. And we've been able to incorporate the European guys. And you never know, Tyson. Who knows where this all goes as far as the future. Obviously, Southern California is still our priority in recruiting. But as you and I have talked about, you would think that UCLA being such a worldwide brand, we could have an upper hand because of our location and the brand of our school worldwide in international recruiting. But you have to be committed to being able to stay involved in it. Some years you may get nobody. Some years you could get one. Obviously, this year really worked out for us.
And then last one from me, but the big change, obviously, with domestic recruiting, NIL, in the last few years. What, I mean, just from like your inside of this perspective, but just to give people a snapshot, how much has it changed, like just the process of initial contact of a guy, the whole recruiting throughout the process? Like, what is the big change for you?
Well, look, we can do a whole nother show on this. But the what's happened is, so there's three quick scenarios, okay? There's the high school recruit that he's either going to pick a school for the biggest NIL deal he can get, or he's going to pick a school that he thinks is the best school to develop his academics, his basketball, his as a person, and the best school for his future. Mm-hmm. So you have to figure out which one that guy is, because you don't want to spend a bunch of time on a guy who's then going to end up just taking the most money he can get. We're not going to get that guy. We're not in that position. I know a lot of people struggle to believe that at UCLA, but Tracy knows that's a fact. So that's the high school guy. So you gotta figure that out. And then the second piece of that becomes the transfer portal, which everybody said, you would get it, you know, what about the portal? You can get older. Well, what's happened is, and I just state things as fact. I'm not on here to, so that's why I don't want people saying, well, Cronin's complaining. I make too much money to complain. I'm not complaining. So I'm just answering your question. Here's the transfer portal guy. Okay. You have a player X, who's realized he's not going to play in the NBA and he's an upperclassman. And what awaits him in Europe is second division. You're not good enough to play in the first division. They don't play guys till they're 25 and up. All you got to do is watch this FIBA World Cup, okay, and see how good these guys are. So, which is why these guys came to us, because they're not ready to play at the pro level in Europe at the highest level. And the teams aren't going to pay them that kind of money. So you're looking at, okay, do I do a COVID year, which is this is the end of that finally. Thank goodness. Or do I go to Europe and start off at 75 to 140,000 in a place where I may not speak the language? The coach may never speak to me. Or do I go into the portal and go to the highest bidder? And some guys are getting $500,000-$600,000. Okay. Well, we can't play in that game. So those guys aren't at UCLA. So no, you cannot blame the player that's doing that, because he has a chance to make that kind of money, knowing the next year he's going to go to Europe, maybe make 80, maybe make 120, have to build his career up. It may or may not work building his career up in Europe. He could be looking for a job at 25 years old. So some of these older players in the portal are trying to maximize their earnings potential. So it basically becomes Major League Baseball, right? Free mm-hmm. agency.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, so it's not like Justin Verlander wanted to go to New York. It's pretty well established he didn't want to go to New York. Right. They traded him back. Ironically, they traded him back to Houston. But, you know, it's pretty well established Freddie Freeman didn't want to leave Atlanta. You know, he left for money. He's, you know, it's obviously he's been great for the Dodgers, and the Braves got Olsen, and he's been unbelievable, so they're okay. But, you know, that's how it works, guys. I mean, so you got the high school recruit, you got the portal. We were fortunate with Lazar. He had different factors. Lazar wanted to win. He wants to play in the NCAA tournament. He was focused on improvement and getting as good as he can. And hopefully he can get it when he's done. If he doesn't play in the NBA, he could play with Partizan He's got a flag of partisans, his home team in Belgrade, flying all over his room. So, you know, he had different priorities. So we were able to get, you know, we had what Lazar was looking for. So those are the main ones. You know, you got the high school guy, you got the portal guy, and then the international guy would be last, you know, or the high school guy that is willing to focus on stepping over pennies to pick up dollars, meaning a Dembona. Okay, where do I can get the best coaching, the best exposure, because I have a chance to make $20 million a year in the NBA. Backups make $15 million. You know, get backups getting $60 million, 4 years guaranteed. So I'm not going to go to the highest NIL program. I'm going to try to pick the best program for my future. So that's where it's all at. I just described recruiting for you you know, in a nutshell. And you can't, and I'm not judging anybody for the teams that have the biggest budget, you know, jealous of them. You know, even if we did, I would still say the goal would be to get guys that want to win and then want development and want to improve and try to win the championship. Because somebody that just wants the biggest deal they can get, but doesn't have the character you need, is a wasted free agent signing anyway, whether it's baseball, basketball, or football.
How, just comparatively to, let's just say, 5 years ago in recruiting, how rare is it, let's say, to find that kind of recruit, high school or transfer, the kind of guy you're talking about, who's looking for development, wants to win, or even the Dembona guy stepping over pennies to get to dollars? How rare now in recruiting are those kind of guys? Because we know those are the kind of Mick Cronin guys that you're looking for, just comparatively to 5 years ago, let's say.
Yeah, and then you know, I made one mistake. I don't have my Mental Westwood T-shirt on. I should have had that on in this interview. I'm all for trying to get these guys as much as they can get within whatever Aaron Atkins tells me I'm allowed to do. And I am allowed to wear that T-shirt. So our next interview, it'll be on. I think I'll wear it in every press conference this year. So, you know, I'm all for two things. I think, you know, these guys getting what they should get is a whole nother argument, because we all, you know, I'm of the belief the revenue sports, the players should get paid, and I think it's coming. Where I think massive change in the next 10 years in the NCAA structure is coming, not to ruin everybody's day. But also, I think you got to teach young people, it's not, you know, life's not all about money. It's easy to say that when you have it, but a fool and his money will soon part ways. So if you don't learn discipline, if you don't educate your mind, you're going to end up broke anyway. So having character and being a winning player, if you want to be a professional, you will get weeded out. If we go back to the original, there's two kind of players, guys that help their team win, guys that don't. So if you don't become the guy that helps his team win, your potential that got you your contract or your opportunity will become irrelevant at some point. So what I tell our message is that is the direct opposite of what too many kids hear in American basketball. They hear, this is what you need. Don't listen to the coach too much. And our message is, it's the exact same thing. What's good for our team is exactly what you need to become the player you can become. You need to shoot a high percentage. You need to learn shot selection. Okay. You can't be a defensive liability. Okay, you have to learn how to be a good teammate. You never speak to your teammates. That will become an issue. And some of that is offense. I tell guards, look, your ability to make open shots, not one-foot runners, not floaters, not sidestep shots that all the workout guys have these guys take. Make 2 out of 3 open shots behind the line. If you can't do that, your career will end. That's just a fact. I saw two guys in Europe, I'm not going to name their names, while we were there playing in the ACB league, because we went to a practice and we played one of those teams. that the only reason they're not still in the NBA is they couldn't make wide open shots when the superstars got double teamed. So now they're over there making $1 million instead of making $8 million in the NBA. So some of it is scoring, but we directly tell them what's good for the team and is good for you are not two different things. Okay. It's the same thing. So you have to have some maturity, and also you want to recruit and have guys on your team that have people around them that understand that, because that, then you don't have things, you don't have things going in the opposite direction all the time. Because sometimes you can't win that fight. So I just want guys that are mature enough to know that the game, there's a, as Bill Parcells said, Tracy, there's a scoreboard for a reason. You know, and the last time I checked, you're playing to win the game. And people tend to pay guys that help their team win. So that's what you're looking for. I think that's what the pros are looking for. And that's why Jaime Jaquez is the 18th pick in the draft.
Just to finish this off, we've kept you a long time. If you could talk a little bit about the additions to your staff. Nate Georgeston getting a little raise and promotion there, and then you brought in Coach Yogi and Brenda Taylor. Talk a little bit about what they bring to your staff.
Sure, we'll go from the back. BT, Brendan Taylor is a local guy, basketball family. His brother Bryce, his father is a great player, played in the NBA. So just a wonderful person, great role model for our players. He was a GA at St. John's, highly recommended from the people that we knew there, people that in his past were the different places he played. Just a first class guy, got a tremendous future in coaching. So we need, and as you know, it's everybody listening, cost of living here is expensive. So the fact that he's from here and he can survive at the lowest salary on our staff is a factor there. But it's great to have him and get another LA guy on our staff. And then Yogi is been a veteran guy who I know well, because we had many battles. He worked for Larry Brown at SMU, and he worked as Ivo Simovic's assistant at Red Star in Belgrade, as well as when they were coaching in Madrid. So just a great coach, extremely well connected. Obviously, he's we call it the, you know, I take everything back to the movies. So, Robert De Niro, he's in the circle of trust. I'm trying to get this in the screen the right way. He's in the circle of trust. You know how De Niro did that to Ben Stiller, right?
Yeah, so, that scared me then, and it's scaring me now a little of you doing it. Yeah, a little.
But I'm not ex-CIA. So, although I do love my dog like he loved, Robert De Niro loved his cat. So, Yogi's in the circle of trust and just a really experienced coach, but very well connected and a great person. And obviously Nate Georgeson is a rising star in the coaching ranks, because he's got great coaching acumen. But he just reminds me of me at his age. You know, he's 24/7. And as I tell Rod and Darren, we're not getting any younger. As much as we think we haven't gotten older, and we're still hip and we're still in touch with the kids, it slips a little every year. And I know when I make my movie references and nobody on the team knows what the heck I'm talking about. But Chris Smith did. That's why I miss him. He was up on all his classic movies. So you got to have some young blood, I believe, on your staff in the recruiting game. So, Yogi and Nate, together are a lethal combination with tackling the international scene. Nate was spent eight days or 7 days in Serbia this summer at the World Championships, and he'll be heading to Europe here in a week or so again. And Yogi's on it every day from a connection standpoint. So the NCAA made a good move in allowing a few more guys to be on the court, because it only helps the kids get better coaching, which is what they need.
So also Nate, I would think Nate kind of fills another role in the fact that he's got a great head of hair. I mean, come on, that hair.
Well, people were saying I was discriminating, because what at Cincinnati, we had the same issue. It was me, Darren, Antoine Jackson, Larry Davis. Then they subbed out, and Michael Lewis and Rod Palmer came in. So people said I was doing it on purpose. I really don't focus on it because, when you dress well and, you age like fine wine, like I have, you just don't, you don't worry about things like that.
That's a good way to end this.
Perfect.
Yeah. Look at Dave almost lost it on Dave.
Yeah. Dave did. Yeah.
That was good. That was good. All right. Well, we could go for like an hour, but we got to leave. We got to
just
let
so you know, guys, it's aging like fine wine. I now, for the first time, I've given up and I'm sitting down to put my socks and shoes on every morning. So I used to just, you bend down, fire them up, but the back has gotten so tight that I've just given it. I just sit down and do it every day.
So and then when you bend over to pick up anything, do you get that sound that, oh, that thing? Because that's part of my life right now.
I'm not there yet, but I did notice, how I was, I had to probably just give up and sit down every time I go to put on the socks and shoes. So
sometimes it's just giving in, Mick. You got to give in.
Yeah.
You got to watch when you reach for anything in the back of your car. You can't just do it like you used to. You got to kind of move the whole body. You can't just grab it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to start practicing. When I preach with my players, they stretching. You got to do more stretching. So
stretching before you put on your shoes. Gotta love it.
Yeah. Then don't tear your Achilles when you first stand up out of the bed every day. So we've really digressed here, but it's good to catch up with you guys.
It is.
All right.
Good
Thank
to
you,
see you,
Coach.
Mitch.
Really appreciate having you on, and good luck with the rest of the summer.
You got it. Check in soon, man. See ya.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not going to survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd. Only on Paramount Plus.